Would you open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 1? Matthew chapter 1. My message this morning it's not a deep message, but one I hope that will cause you to think deeply about what we just sang about, your love for the Lord Jesus, your desire for Him, your worship of Him. And so that's my intention. The title of the message this morning is, What Are You Doing for Christmas? What are you doing for Christmas? I wonder what our children would say, or our grandchildren, if we were to ask such a question. They might give an answer that's rather unexpected, just from their childlike perception. They would say, well, on Christmas Eve, generally, we watch one of those Christmas specials on TV. And then before we go to bed, we open one present, just one. Well, what about Christmas morning? They would say, well, we get up really early. I mean, the first person that wakes up gets out of bed, and we go and try to get Dad awake so we can get him out of bed. And then we go downstairs around the Christmas tree, and we open all of our presents and start to play with them a little bit before a big breakfast. What about lunch? Well, we go to Grandma's house for lunch, and there we find out what all our cousins got. We have a big Christmas meal. That is after Grandpa prays the longest prayer of the season. And in the afternoon, we exchange presents and we go and play with them a little bit. The adults, they just sit around and talk about old times. At supper time, nobody's really hungry, so we just eat some leftovers and everybody just feels stuffed. We're all tired, and so we go to bed kind of early on Christmas Day. It's been a long day, and tomorrow will be another one, they might say. That would be their description of Christmas. Now, maybe typical, but sort of sad, too. I would follow up, and perhaps it begs the question, what about Jesus? It's His birthday, right? The birth of the Lord Jesus. That's what we celebrate. That's the reason for the season. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. What about the Lord Jesus? Shouldn't Christians celebrate Christ on His birthday at Christmas? But they may look back and they say, well, what would you do at a birthday celebration for Jesus? And a good answer might be, well, God planned the first one. Let's look and see what they did on the day of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And so I'm looking into these passages of Scripture to find out what should be part of our celebration of the Lord's birth. Now, brothers and sisters, don't let this go over your head. You know, you hear this cute little sermon or listen to something or read something in one of the periodicals, some little something, and it's so quickly forgotten. But really now, Christmas is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about His birth. It's when we celebrate Christ coming to us, and it ought to be about Him. Let's make it about Him. Here are some ways that we can celebrate His birth. Let's consider first Joseph. Joseph, the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph, on Christmas, bore the reproach of a pregnant fiance. May I say, he bore the reproach of the Lord Jesus. In verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, it says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, or spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now today, sadly, nobody would look twice at a young lady who was expecting, but she was not married. Sadly. But in that day, there were people thinking some thoughts about what they were seeing. Mary starting to show a little bit, and it's obvious she's expecting, and they know, those people in Nazareth, they know that she's not married. Some of them are thinking she should be stoned. Others, perhaps, are thinking Joseph needs to leave her. He needs to just write a bill of divorcement, break their engagement, because that's what would be required, to write a bill of divorcement and break their engagement and go on with life, Joseph. This is not for you, they would be thinking. But Joseph accepted the words of the angel. In other words, he believed. Joseph believed that this would be the Christ, the Savior of mankind. And Joseph accepted the words of the angel and was, perhaps we would say, the first to bear the reproach of the Lord Jesus, even unborn as yet. I wonder, would I be willing to bear the reproach of the Lord Jesus in this, the celebration of his birth? We might ask in our little town here, well, what reproach? What reproach? Most believers in America have not borne the reproach of the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, to some degree, most of us are willing to ignore Christ on a daily basis in some settings. Oh, I don't mean that we would say something against him, but we just wouldn't say anything about him at all. Now, don't be pious. Is that you? Are there some settings where you just don't talk about these things? Even on Christmas Day, perhaps. Imagine ignoring somebody on their birthday. And yet we'll be with family, with friends. If you will put Christ in the center of your celebration for the whole season, in every setting, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, in every setting, you will likely discover the reproach of Christ. Because some people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about your Christ. They don't want to hear you talk about it. Instead of emphasizing what we get for Christmas this year, why not emphasize what I'm giving to Christ for his birthday? I never hear anybody talk about giving Christ anything on his birthday. We are the recipients. All of the blessings that come from knowing him, wrapped up in that little package, the Lord Jesus, the babe in the manger, who grew up to be the Christ of the cross and died that we might live and know God personally. We receive from him. Hey, we could give him back something, and why not on his birthday? Why not as we celebrate his birthday? Instead of all the traditional lore, let's insist on honoring Jesus in what we read and what we sing and what we talk about for lunch on Christmas. For dinner or supper, whatever you might call it. When you're with your loved ones. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I would suggest to you that if given the occasion, you could bear the reproach of Christ for his birthday. Now, some of us will be around only Christians, perhaps. Be no problem for us. But what about the week after Christmas? What about all the weeks of 52 weeks of next year? We could bear the reproach of Christ in the coming year. Lord, I'm going to bear the reproach. I'm going to speak boldly about you wherever I am. I'm not going to be ashamed of my Savior. We could do that for the Lord Jesus. Secondly, you might notice in verses 24 and 5, that Joseph was obedient to the instruction from God. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, just like he was told. Joseph's obedience was a sacrifice. He did not know his wife in a physical sense for several months after they got married. If you want to try to honor the Lord Jesus, or I should say, if you want to try to honor anyone at their birthday celebration, you would want to do things that they like. You wouldn't play games that they despise. You would do things that they like. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Let's do what he likes. Would you be willing to offer Christ the gift of obedience for his birthday? The gift of obedience. If you say, well, that sounds like something I could do, I would suggest to you that here are a couple of gifts, little gifts, for last-minute shoppers in our obedience department. Here, you ready? Don't listen to any distasteful jokes on Christmas. You say, I would never listen to a distasteful joke. Do you listen to jokes with the name of God in them? To put the name of our God in a joke is to use his name in vain. To use the name Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. To use it in vain. Would you decide to be obedient to the command and not take the Lord's name in vain and not listen to others with a smile on our face while they do so? How about this? Don't break the law to get where you're going this Christmas. Drive the speed limit. How about this? Don't ignore your family enemy. Don't despise him or her, but return their evil with good when you're together with family. You know, the one that you just never had any use for. Tell them about Christ. Don't overeat, Pastor. Don't forget to give thanks, right? Because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So if you're really serious about honoring the Lord, then we could be obedient. We could give him the gift of obedience. Lord, I've never committed to this, but in this coming year, I want to be obedient in this thing. Let me ask you to turn over to Luke chapter 2. You can hold your place here in Matthew. We will come back. Luke chapter 2. And consider another of the cast, if you will, that first Christmas. Others who were there, what did they do? What do we do at a celebration of the Lord, his birth? Well, let's look at the angels. The angels proclaimed the significance of his birth. Could we do that? Proclaim the significance of his birth. Look at verse 8, Luke 2, 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Not just another baby, this baby Jesus. This is the Savior, the promised, the anointed of God. How do I know that? Well, the angels told the shepherds, and I just read it to you. Would you be willing to proclaim the significance of the birth of Christ on his birthday? Christmas Day, at the celebration that you attend, is a great time to make this announcement. You could suggest that everybody share their favorite part of Christmas. And then when it comes around to you, say, my favorite part about Christmas, the thing that I love the most about Christmas is that I know the honored guest personally. You could do that. Even with those familiar to you, you could do that. You could skip the part about going around the room. You could just say, let me tell you what I love about Christmas. I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus myself. Could you do that? The angels also, in verses 13 and 14, they praise God. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Would you be willing to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ by offering up a sacrifice of praise to him? Now praise not just with our mouth, but with our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Make it real. They praised the Lord on his birth. Praising him should not be hard to do when we consider all that he's given us for Christmas. Everybody likes to get a gift that would last, right? Becoming harder and harder to find gifts that last in the 21st century. They're cheap, disposable. Not our salvation, not what God has given us in the person of Jesus Christ. It's useful. We want a gift that's useful. We want one that makes life easier, makes life more meaningful, makes it more purposeful, more fulfilling, more fun. We want a gift that solves some problems for us, helps us to accomplish some things that we have to accomplish. I don't care how you describe the perfect gift. I could look at you and say, Jesus Christ is that. He's the perfect gift. He's everything that we could possibly desire. He's the perfect gift given to us. It's not hard to praise our God for Jesus Christ. And every time we see that perfect gift, makes us think of the giver, doesn't it? Makes us thankful. God gave the ultimate gift that first Christmas. So praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ. The shepherds, Luke 2, verse 15. They came to see Jesus on his birthday. They came to see him. They paid a personal visit. Look at verse 15. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They met the Lord Jesus. Did they have to go? Well, they felt like we ought to go and see the Lord. Let's go see this thing that's taken place in Bethlehem that the Lord's made known to us. And so they went and they paid the Lord Jesus, that baby, a visit. I wonder, is there a place in your home where you frequently visit with the Lord? Is there a place in your heart? Is there a quietness of heart that you enjoy? You enjoy coming to this place in your thinking and putting all things out, just sort of blocking everything out and just sort of meditate yourself on the Lord Jesus. Is there a place that you do that? Is there a place in your heart for that? Will you go there on Christmas Day? A week from tomorrow, Christmas Day, will you go there as we celebrate the birth? Will you go to that quiet place in heart and perhaps physically quiet place and spend a little time with the Lord there? That would be okay, wouldn't it? I dare say we're too busy. Christmas Day's busy. The kids, the grandparents, and all of the things that are happening, the grandkids, everything is busy. Hey, get up a little earlier. Spend a little time in a quiet place and visit with the Lord a little bit on His birthday. Talk to Him. Lord, I love You. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee, all the follies of sin I resign. Like we sang, spend a little time with the Lord Jesus this Christmas. I want you to see also that the shepherds in verse 17 went to tell others about what they had seen. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I love when people depict the shepherds in their writings. Shepherds in that day, they were to themselves a lot. And they were accustomed to calling out, "Hey, come here." They would call across the fields and they would talk loudly because they were outside. Can you imagine a little band of shepherds going around Bethlehem talking about what they had seen? Believing it to be God, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace? Oh, wow. The announcement of the shepherds. How about your announcement and my announcement? Are we willing to go to where we're not accustomed to going to tell other people what we found? Imagine knowing a man who could cure cancer and then having friends who have cancer and not tell them about it. Sort of reminds me of the Samaritan woman. She went back to town and she said, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Brothers and sisters, the people out here around us, they'll have to hear about Jesus more than once, probably, to be saved. They're not going to come and break the doors of the church down to get in and fill the pews because you told them about Jesus one time. We're going to have to do it often. We're going to have to talk about the Lord Jesus and announce why He came. I like verse 20. The shepherds, thirdly, praised and glorified God like the angels did. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Again, you have to be willing to praise God on His birthday, to praise the Lord Jesus. What a gift. How can we help but be thankful? Let's say that I gave you a new house. The taxes will be paid from this day until the day that you are deceased, that you pass off this earth scene. Utilities taken care of. A place. Well, like the parsonage, kind of. What if I could give you a house, a place to be, and meet your needs in that place? You would say, "Oh, wow, you're a great guy." I would like for you to think about the fact that God has given us eternal life and a place to be by His side forever. We can know Him now and we'll know Him better in the future. when we stand in His presence in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ and stand in the very presence of God forever. A place by His side. You don't need to worry about paying for it. It's already taken care of. To praise and glorify God on Christ on His birthday. While we're in Luke 2, let's look at Mary, chapter 2 and verse 16. She ministered to the needs of the baby Jesus. Oh, Jesus had needs? Oh, certainly He did. He was a baby. Babies have needs, right? Babies have needs. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Who put Him there? Who wrapped Him in the swaddling clothes? Well, Mary did. She ministered to the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if you and I could minister to Jesus on His birthday? If we could be His servants on His birthday? You say, well, if I could do that, I certainly would. Well, you can. Would you be willing to wait on the needs of our Savior? What a privilege. What a privilege. But someone might ask, well, what needs? He's God. He doesn't need anything. Let me ask you, please, to turn with me back to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. It's not a Christmas passage. Matthew 25, 31. It's the sheep and goat judgment. When the Lord comes back, He'll draw the individuals from the nations and there'll be a judgment, and the sheep are those that know Him and serve Him. And one evidence of their knowing Him is how they treat His brethren, the Israelites. And one evidence of them not knowing Him or not caring about Him or accepting Him is how they would treat His brethren. It's an interesting passage beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And verse 40, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these, one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You want to serve the Lord Jesus? He's in the people business. You can help Him out with the people business. Serving others. You know, others need serving too, don't they? We know people that need a word of encouragement. There are people that you know that'll be lonely Christmas. They'll be lonely. They'll be by themselves. You hadn't thought of them just yet, but their spouse died in this past year. And about now, they really hurt in their hearts. And you could be Christ to them. You could show the love of Christ to them and serve the Lord by serving them. What else did Mary do? Verse 19, back in Luke chapter 2, not 2 Luke, but Luke chapter 2, verse 19. You're familiar with this little phrase, she pondered the truths in her heart. Verse 19 says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word ponder means she tried to put it all together in her mind. She was trying to see the big picture about why her son really came and what was his mission and what's he going to do next. She pondered every little scrap of information she could learn about him because she believed him to be God in the flesh. Adam Clark said, every circumstance relative to her son's birth, Mary treasured up in her memory, and every new circumstance she weighed or compared with those which had already taken place in order to acquire the fullest information concerning the nature and mission of her son. Maybe for Christmas, our celebration, we could just do kind of like Mary did and just kind of ponder what we know about the Lord Jesus. And we know so much more than she did. To bring it all together in our minds. To see the big picture of what Jesus is. So one of the things we want to make sure that we do in Christmas. Look past the babe, right? To the Christ of the cross and the coming Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus. Well, what do we know about God? What could we ponder? Well, I'll tell you this first. He's God. Jesus is God. He is deity. He laid aside the glories of heaven, the splendor of heaven, not as deity, but laid aside the splendor, and he came down here and took on the form of flesh and was like a servant. He lived in a sin-filled world and committed not one sin. Ponder that a little bit. Not one sin. He knew what day and by what means he would die. All of his 33 and a half years. He loved those whom he knew would forsake him. He loved them. Passionately he loved them. He would not defend himself before Pilate. Pilate, the inquisitor as it was, asking Jesus questions. Jesus could have turned that conversation on Pilate and made him cry. He's God. He has a way with words. But he didn't defend himself at all. He gave up his life, a life that no man had the power to take from him. Jesus died when he was ready. He gave his life. It wasn't taken. Gave his life to pay for our sins. They buried him and he rose from the dead on the third day. And right now he's alive. Jesus is alive. Put the picture together in your mind this Christmas. Think about Jesus. You see, the greatest calling of man is that we glorify God. And as we think those thoughts, we can glorify him for who he is. Recognize how praiseworthy he truly is by giving some thought. Let me ask you to go back to Matthew chapter 2 and let's consider the wise men. We sang about them this morning. It's interesting. I always feel a little awkward singing the first Noel. It talks about the star and the manger and the Lord Jesus laying there in the manger. I think when the wise men came, it was a little later than that. It's debated about how the story unfolds, but it could have been a year or maybe more before the wise men actually came and that star reappeared to them, the one that led them out of Persia and brought them to Bethlehem, reappeared to them and stood over where the young child was in a house, a young child in a house, not a stable. But what about the wise men when they came to celebrate the coming or the birth of a king? It says in verse 1 of chapter 2, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. In verse 11, the first part of the verse says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they what? They fell down and worshipped him. Answer this to yourself. Did you ever fall down and worship the Lord? I would encourage you this Christmas season to do like the wise men. Fall down on the Lord's birthday before Him and worship, because worship means to fall on our knees, to kiss the hand of, to do reverence to the Lord Jesus. Take a little time on Christmas to get by yourself and maybe just lay face down on the floor and talk to Jesus Christ. Talk to Jesus the Christ. It's amazing. It's amazing what just getting down on our face before God, it just sort of changes your whole perspective of things. Why not bow down and worship Him? You could do that, Chris. Do it in your bedroom, on the floor. Bow down and worship like the wise men. We could do that for Christmas. Well, there are a lot of ideas, aren't there? There's a lot we can do. They also gave Him gifts, according to the latter part of verse 11. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You could give Him something. You say, well, what would I give Him? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You could do that. You could offer up the sacrifice of praise, the Bible says, which we've already talked about. It seems strange to offer the Lord your body. Lord, here it is, my body, it's yours. No, seriously, do it. Lord, here are my feet. I will only go where you would have me go. Here are my hands, Lord. I'll use them to do your work for you. Lord, here is my tongue. Help me to say only that which pleases you. I want you to have control of my body, Lord. Here's my head. Lord, I want to think your thoughts after you. I want all of my thoughts to be wholesome and pure. Lord, I want you to be in control of my body. Brothers and sisters, what are you doing for Christmas? You still have time to think about it. Still have time to get ready for celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus. Bearing His reproach, giving Him your gift of obedience, proclaiming the significance of the birth of the baby. Praising God for His unspeakable gift. You can spend some time with Him. Come and see Him, so to speak. You can go tell others what you've seen. You can praise Him and glorify Him. You can minister to the needs of the Lord Jesus by ministering to the needs of His people. You can ponder in your mind the truths. Put together the big picture. Take the time to think it through. See if it won't be a blessing. You can worship the babe. You can prostrate yourself before the Lord in your bedroom, somewhere in private. Just get on your face before God. Talk to Him and praise Him. You can give Him the gift of you. You can give Him your body. If you're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what are you doing for Christmas? If you're unsaved, then I invite you. Come see the baby. Come meet the Lord Jesus this Christmas. You need Him. He's the Savior of the world. He died for your sins. You need Him. There was once a man who didn't believe in God, not at all. He didn't hesitate to let other people know what he felt about religion and religious holidays and so forth, like Christmas. His wife, however, did believe, and she was trying to raise their children to be children of faith. Faith in God and in Jesus, despite the disparaging comments from her husband. One snowy Christmas Eve, his wife was taking their children to a Christmas Eve service at their church there in the community, the farming community where they lived. And she asked him to come, but he refused. He said, that story's nonsense. Why would God lower Himself to come to earth as a man? That's ridiculous, he said. So she and the children left, and he stayed home. A little while later, the winds picked up, and a little bit of snowfall turned into a blizzard. And the man looked out the window, and it was blustery. Decided he would just sort of settle in, and he sat down in front of the fire in his comfortable chair, and all of a sudden he heard a plunk at the window. Something hit his window. He looked out, and he couldn't see but a couple of feet. The snow was falling, and the wind was blowing. And so he went back and sat down, and before long, another plunk, something hit the window. He wondered what that was. When the snow let up a little bit, he ventured outside to see what could be beating on his windows. And in the field near his house, he saw a flock of geese. Probably flying south for the winter, but they got caught in this storm and they were grounded there. Couldn't do anything, couldn't go anywhere. They were lost and stranded on his farm with no food and no shelter. They just flapped their wings and flew around the field in low, blinding circles aimlessly. And a couple of them had flown into his window, so it seemed. The man felt sorry for the geese. He wanted to help them. The barn, he thought. The barn, that'll be a great place for them to stay. It's warm, it's safe. Surely they could spend the night and wait out the storm in his barn. So he walked over to the barn, he opened the doors wide, and he watched and he waited, hoping that they would notice that the barn was open. And they would go inside. But the geese just fluttered around aimlessly and did not seem to notice the barn or realize that it could mean safety for them. The man tried to get their attention, but that just didn't seem possible. They were scared of him, and they moved further away when he made his attempts. He went into the house and came back with some bread. He broke it up, made a breadcrumb path to the barn. They didn't pay any attention to the breadcrumbs at all. They didn't catch on, he thought. Now he was sort of getting frustrated. He got behind the geese and he tried to shoo them into the barn, but that didn't work. They just scattered everywhere except toward the barn. Nothing he did seemed to help. "Why don't they follow me?" he exclaimed. "Can't they see this is the only place where they can survive the storm?" He thought for a moment and realized that they just wouldn't follow a human. He said, "If only I could be a goose, then they would know and I could save them." He said it out loud. Then he had an idea. He went into the barn and he got one of his own geese, carried it out in his arms, and he kind of worked around the outside and worked around the backside of the geese, and then he sort of tossed his goose into the air and it flew right through the flock of geese and went into the barn. And one by one, those geese went in the barn behind that his own domestic goose. He stood silently for a moment as the word he had spoken a few minutes earlier replayed in his mind. "If only I were a goose, then I could save them." Then he thought about what he had said to his wife earlier. Why would God want to be like us? That's ridiculous. Suddenly it all made sense. That is what God had done. "We were like these geese," he said, "blind, lost, perishing. God had his son become like us so he could show us the way and save us." That was the meaning of Christmas, he realized. As the wind and the blinding snow died down, his soul became quiet and he pondered this wonderful thought. Suddenly he understood that Christmas, or what Christmas was all about, why Christ had come. Years of doubt and disbelief just vanished away like the passing storm, and he fell on his knees in the snow and he prayed his first prayer. "Thank you, Jesus, for coming in human form to show me the way out of the storm." There are a lot of people out there that still don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. How are they going to know him? If you and I participate in the celebration of his birth this Christmas as if we were one of them, rather than one of his own, who understood our sinfulness, our lostness, our blindness, and realized that God, Jesus Christ, came and took on the robe of flesh only to die so he could pay for my sins and take that obstacle out of the way so that I could have fellowship with God again, to be redeemed, to be restored to God in fellowship, to know him now and forever. We came to a place where we were ready to be saved from our sins rather than live in our sins, and we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And now all things are passed away. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're new creatures in Christ. You and I are what the whole world has going for it. You and me, we know, and we can tell them. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're not sure you do, why not be sure? It doesn't matter what people think. I can tell you that everybody here will just rejoice. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, you need to know him today. And you need to celebrate his birth as one of his own. That's our invitation. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share these simple truths. I pray for every believer here, Lord, that you would help us, please, to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus. To celebrate it, and Lord, not to ignore him on this, the celebration of his birth. Help us to do and be what we ought to be. Father, for your glory and honor, that Christ might be exalted, but Lord, also for our unsaved neighbors and friends and family, that they might know Christ. What better time to be introduced than Christmas? I pray, Lord, you'd make us effective witnesses as we celebrate the birth of our dear Savior, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.